I'd like to turn your Bibles to the book of Ephesians, the second chapter. Mankind, we are out of Christ by nature and into Christ, or can be in Christ, by grace. Look at Ephesians chapter 2. It says, "And you hath he quickened," or made alive, "who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince, the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in times past, in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others." Now, when we read this, we want to place it somewhere else. We're all in this condition. All that are without Christ are in this condition. Those that are in Christ are taken out of that condition, no longer controlled by or governed by that condition. Because then we have a choice, and he's given us the power of the Spirit within to restrain ourselves from being controlled by these. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened, or made alive, us together with Christ. By grace are ye saved, and hath raised us up together and made us to sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. This is the ages, or that is that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. For by grace are ye saved through faith, that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. Wherefore, remember that we, being in time past Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision by that which is called the circumcision in the flesh, made by hands, that at that time ye were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. But now, in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were far off are made nigh by the blood of Jesus Christ. Without Christ is the condition of all men by nature. Two here. And verses 1 through 3 says, "You hath he quickened," or made alive, "who were dead in trespasses and sin, wherein in time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience." Now, if you want to know how much control and how much Satan has influence on lost people, right here it is. Just read it in your hearing. What did he say? You walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air. That's the devil himself, by the way. The children of disobedience. Not children of God, but the children of disobedience, Satan's, in other words, among whom also, and didn't we read in another place, I believe in the book of Romans, where it said that we are of our father, the devil? Something about lying, wasn't it? Among whom also we all had our conversation in times past, in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. Out of Christ means that an individual has no Christ. Look at Romans chapter 8 and verse number 9. The Bible says, "But ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his." He does not have Christ. And then, there's no Christ. Look at 8 and 9 here. It says, "For ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now, if any have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his." There's no life. All is death outside of Jesus Christ. Look at 1 John chapter 5 and verse number 12. 1 John 5 and 12 says, "He that hath the Son hath life. He that hath not the Son of God hath not life." He that has the Son has life, but he that has not the Son hath not life. Look at John chapter 3 and verse number 36. John 3rd chapter and verse number 36. The Bible says, "He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. He that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him." So out of Christ means that an individual has no Christ, no life, and he has no peace. Look at Romans chapter 3 and verse number 17. Romans 3, verse 17, and that's the peace my brother's seeking right now, is that peace with God, and that comfort is for those who walk close with the Lord. Romans chapter 3 and verse 17 says, "The way of peace have they not known." The way of peace they have not known. There's no Christ, no life, no peace. And by the way, there is no excuse for being in that condition. Look at Romans chapter 1 and verse number 20. Romans 1 and 20. The Bible says, "For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse." Listen, what did he say? The invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead. Nature declares the glory. The firmament shows his handiwork. It even shows the Godhead, the Trinity. This one person God thing is nonsense. The Bible throughout, creation throughout, declares the glory of a triune God. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Man is absolutely without excuse. There's no escape. Neglect will send the poor soul to an eternity in hell. Look at 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse number 9. 2 Peter chapter 3. And verse 9, "The Lord is not slack concerning his promises, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance." Not his will that any should perish. It's not God's fault if a person neglects to turn to Jesus, The person ignores the declaration of creation. If he ignores the written word that is set forth and sent forth. And by the way, God never has nor never will he leave his creations or his creed. He will not leave mankind without a witness of these facts. That witness has always been there. It is there, and it always will be there. So man has no excuse, and if he neglects, then he will not escape this terrible place called hell. The way into Christ, look at Ephesians chapter 1 and verse number 13. Ephesians chapter 1 and verse number 13. The Bible says, "In whom you also trusted, after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that ye believed, ye were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise." The way into Christ, by the way of repentance, Acts 20 and 21. The Bible says that there was a time when God winked at ignorance, but now he commands all men everywhere to repent. All men, everywhere to repent. Repentance was the message that John the Baptist came preaching. Look at Matthew chapter 3. Matthew, the third chapter. "In those days came John the Baptist preaching in the wilderness of Judea and saying, repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." John the Baptist came preaching repentance. Jesus Christ came preaching repentance. Look at Mark 1 and verse number 15. Mark chapter 1. Verse 15, "And saying, the time is fulfilled, the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent ye and believe the gospel." Repent ye and believe the gospel. Repent ye and be converted. Repent ye. Turn from self and sin. Turn from whatever it is that you're proffering up to God to make peace with him. And turn and leave those things and let him bring that peace to you. Let him grant that peace. He'll not do it against the will, so one must be willing. Repentance was preached by Paul, Acts 17, 30 and 31. Acts chapter 17, verses 30 and 31. "And the times of this ignorance God winked at, but now commandeth all men everywhere to repent. Because he hath appointed a day in the which he will judge the world in righteousness by that man whom he hath ordained, whereof he hath given assurance unto all men that he hath raised him from the dead." Repent and believe the gospel. What is the gospel? The gospel is the death of Jesus Christ according to the scripture. The burial and resurrection of Jesus Christ according to the scripture. Repent and believe. Repent and put your faith fully in. There's three elements to repentance, to true repentance. First of all, there's conviction. One has to realize that they are a sinner. You have to realize that you're a sinner. Then there's contrition, sorrow for sin. 2 Corinthians 7:10 says the goodness of God leads men to repentance, not to be repented of. Goodness of God leads men to repentance. We see how good God is, and we're sorry that we have done what we have done to him, because, by the way, all sin man commits is against God. All sin that man has committed is against God. And so, therefore, we should be sorry that we hurt God. And by the way, our sin hurts God. Our sin makes less out of the suffering sacrifice that Jesus made. It tears it down. Listen, we need to understand That the Bible truly says, whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. We need to understand the reason for it is because God has a right to demand that man show that he is sorry and that he's willing to let him make things right. We go to him trying to make things right ourselves. Man cannot make things right. God is the one who does and will when a man is willing to let him. Let go and let God. That's the key. So conviction. And then contrition, godly sorrow. And then conversion, a change from sin. Look in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse number 17. 2 Corinthians 5 and 17. The Bible says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Child of God, you're different. You can do different. You can produce different. Lost friend, you're not different. You're the same. You're the same as that child of God was. You can't do different. God has to do it for you. He'll do for you what it takes to make you different so you can do different if you let him. There's three elements in true conversion. They're shown in conversion of the Philippian jailer in Acts the 16th chapter. Look at Acts chapter 16. Acts chapter 16, beginning with verse number 29. Then he called for a light and sprang in and came trembling and fell up, down before Paul and Silas. That was after that God brought the earthquake and so forth, and the prison's doors were opened, and the jailer come running in to Paul and Silas and brought them out and said, sirs, what must I do to be saved? And they said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved, and thy house. And they spake unto him the word of the Lord, and to all that were in his house. And he took them the same hour of the night, and washed their stripes, and was baptized, he and all his straightway. So there was conviction. He came trembling, realizing he was a sinner. There was contrition. He fell down before Paul and Silas and said, sirs, what must I do to be saved? He saw and realized the condition he was in and understood there's nothing he could do to change it. And he come to Paul and them to point him to one who could. And Paul and Silas pointed him to the Lord Jesus Christ, the only one who can change a man, the only one who can save a man, the only one who can give man eternal life. Only one who can bring peace with God and man. And by the way, men in their sin have no peace with God. We already read that in Romans 3:17. No peace with God. I'll tell you what. The one thing that moves me and makes me enjoy what God has given me is that peace I have with him. There's times I don't have peace with myself, and I don't have peace with other people. I don't even have peace with my wife or my children or any of the others. But I'll tell you what, that peace with God always there. I come back to that, and that brings me joy and comfort and peace. Because I know within I'm right with God. Now I may be in a turmoil outside in this old flesh, but right with him. There's no greater blessing in my mind. All right, then there was conversion. He took them the same hour of the night and washed their stripes and was baptized, he and all his straightway. Changed from sin, delivered from slavery, delivered from the bondage, delivered from the condemnation. given eternal and everlasting life. Not by Paul and Silas, but by the Lord Jesus Christ, the one who Paul and Silas pointed them to. You see, we have a whole religion that goes around, if you lay hands and you do this, or you anoint with oil or something like this, everything's going to be hunky-dory. It's not. There's no power there. It has to be the Lord who does it. And he does it spiritually. He does not do it physically or carnally anymore. There was a time that he did, but that time is past. No more need to confirm the word because we have the completed word. The way into Christ is by the way of faith. Look at Acts 20 and verse number 21. Acts chapter 20 and verse 21. Testifying both to the Jews, also to the Greeks, repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. Repentance and faith. Repentance and believe. Repentance and trust. Faith is toward Jesus. He satisfies the law which we had broken. He did for us what we could not do. There are two elements of true faith. First of all, John chapter 3, verse 16. John chapter 3 and verse number 16. For God so loved the world that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. That whosoever believeth in him, that belief, again, Romans chapter 10 over there tells us that it's with the heart man believes. Did you know that what we do with the heart we have to surrender to? We control what we do with our mind, but what we do with the heart, we surrender to. Hebrews 11, verse number 6. Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 6. But without faith, it is impossible to please him, for he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. There are two elements to true faith. Again, first of all, there's belief, and then there's trust. Look at 2 Timothy 1, verse number 12. 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse number 12. For the which cause I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day. Persuaded. That persuaded is trust. I wholly trust. I wholly commit. I know. There's a difference between just believing with the head and knowing with the heart. I know. And when I came to that place to where I knew within me that he could do what I asked him to do, I asked him and he did it. Everyone here come to that point that knows the Lord as their Savior. Not only do we believe, the devils believe and tremble, the Bible says, but you got to trust. And you know what? We talk about stepping out on faith or living by faith or being saved by faith. Listen, it takes a wholehearted commitment to be saved. It takes a wholehearted commitment to live for the Lord. I was saved for quite a while, before I began to live for the Lord. I was saved. Yes, I was going to heaven. But I was going to be like my brother is. Nothing to show for it. And to face the Lord, the one who did so much and cared so much, empty-handed and without anything to show, and confess, I live my life for myself and not for you, after all that you've done. And you know what? This trusting, this faith that we talk about. I take a step down here, and I have faith that that step's going to hold me. Yeah. Each step you take, each thing you do, you put your faith in something. You've got your faith that that step will hold? Yeah. When we live for the Lord, we got to have faith that he'll keep the promises that he made for us doing that. Let's stand. If you're here this morning, the Spirit of God convicts your heart. Come to Jesus. What shall we sing, my brother?